Morning, everyone. Welcome along here to church. It's great to see you today, especially as we have our combined service. We only do this a few times a year for our AGM and sometimes at Christmas and Easter. And so it's great to be able to come together with the 9 o'clock service and the 11 and the 4:15 services all at the same time. And to see the brothers and sisters across the congregations, this is us here at Barney's. Now, I want to start off by asking you a question. How would you complete this sentence? What words would you fill there in the gap there in terms of the church is, what would you say after that? The church is what? Just think about that for 10 seconds. If you had to fill in those words, the church is, what would you come up with to finish off that sentence? Maybe to make it closer to home, if we think about our church here at Barney's, who are we? The church here at Barney's, we are, you could put in there, a great bunch of people, a friendly church, a family even. Someone once showed me a book that was entitled, it was called The Church is an Organization. It's a company, it's a business, and I can see how you can think about that. We have an AGM, we're going to have that just after our service this morning. We have a profit and loss statement, we have a balance sheet, a budget. It's easy to think about church in terms of numbers. How are we growing? How much money are we bringing in? How are we going in terms of our giving? Is that what the church is? The church is a business, an organization, a company. Now, I was trying to think about what to preach this morning in terms of our AGM Sunday, and I came up with 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, it is a great passage because here we see God's answer to who we are. Now, we're going to see three things. We're going to see what the church is. There's 2 points under that, and what the church does. It'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you. You might have it in there on your phones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. What is the church? The church is a house. It is a house. Let me read verse 4. As you come to him, talking about Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In verse 5, each of us, we are living stones. In other words, we are basically bricks. Now, a brick by itself, it is not much. It just sits there. It's not impressive. But when you build something, when you put those bricks together, all of a sudden, it can become something magnificent. Back in 2005, I was in China with Dawn. This was before we had kids. We were in Beijing, and we caught a bus around an hour outside of Beijing. And on the ground there, you could see some gray rocks just scattered here and there, and by themselves, there was nothing special about them, nothing special about the rocks. They were kind of the same size, the same shape. They were gray, and that was about it. But next to the rocks, you could see what they were being used for. Because 5 meters away, it was the Great Wall of China. It was an incredible structure with parapets and battlements and towers stretching as far as the eye could see. In the Great Wall of China, there are 3 billion bricks. And it stretches for 21,000 kilometers. It is massive. Now, each one of those gray stones by themselves, unimpressive. But together, with the right architects, the right builders, the right engineers, it is a masterpiece. Now in verse 5, God is doing a building project. God is the builder, he is the architect, he is the engineer. And he takes each one of us, he takes each living stone and he builds a masterpiece. Now, did you see what he was making? What it is that he's building? God is building the temple. Now, it can be hard for us to understand how important the temple is, especially to Israel. But it's kind of like the White House, if you're an American, or Buckingham Palace, if you're British. For us, I guess it's kind of Parliament House, or maybe you might substitute the Opera House in there. But this is an impressive structure to who they are. Let me read out a few psalms to give you a sense of how significant the temple is. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. The temple is where God is. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place? Talking about the temple, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. If you asked an Old Testament Jew, if you asked him, where does God live? The answer is the temple. If you asked him, where can I meet God? Where can I have a relationship with God? It's in the temple. What about the focus of God's mission in the world? What is the center of what God is doing in the world? Again, it's the temple. And here in 1 Peter chapter 2, God says, all those things, that is us. As you come to Jesus, you are being built into a spiritual house. The temple in the Old Testament, it has been replaced. And in Jesus, we are the temple. We are the house of God. Where does God live here on earth? God lives here in us, in the church. Where can I meet God? How do I have a relationship with God? It is here with us as we open the Word of God, as we preach about Jesus. What is the focus of God's mission? What is the center of what God is doing in the world? Again, it's us. It's the church. We are what God is doing in the world as God saves people. You see, this building around us, as beautiful as it is not the church, it is not the temple. You can meet in a school. You know, if this building burned down and we met at Beecham Park next week, or even in your growth groups, as you meet around God's word and as you pray, we are the church. We are the temple of God. The most important piece of the whole building is Jesus. In verse 6, Jesus is the cornerstone. Now, I'm not an architect, I'm not a builder, but from what I understand, the cornerstone is the most important piece. It's the foundation, and it sets the direction for the rest of the building. It shows you which way to go this way, which way to go that way. Can you imagine building a brand new house? And you go to the site and you realize that the builders have put not a regular rectangular shape there, but they've put a rhombus. You know, the whole place is going to fall apart. So if you get any old rock and you make that the direction of your building, the whole house is going to fall apart. The cornerstone in God's house is Jesus. And if you look there at verse 7, either Jesus is precious, he holds up your life, or he becomes a stone that you trip over, a stone that makes you stumble. You see, whether it's us as a church or even our individual lives, you can look great on the outside. You can be a mansion, you can have great windows and beautiful doors, you can have a great job, a beautiful family. But if the foundation is not Jesus, if he does not set the direction, when that storm comes, when the storm of God's judgment comes, the whole house, it crashes down. God is not going to ask us how beautiful our lives are or how beautiful our house is. God is going to ask us on the last day, what did you build your life on? Was it happiness or success or achievements, or did you build it on my son, on Jesus? But do you see what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2? What are we? As the church, we are the house of God. We are where God lives. It's the center of God's mission in the world. The church here at Barney's, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? When you see it through God's eyes. We are the house of God. Point number 2, we are the people of God. Take a look at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We see four titles that come from the Old Testament that say who we are as a church. What are we like as the people of God? Number one, we see that we are a chosen people. In the Old Testament, that was Israel. But now it's us. Not a bunch of individuals scattered for the rest of our lives or throughout the week. We are God's people together. Born not from genetics, not from our family lineage, but by trusting in Jesus. Number two, we are a royal priesthood. Now the priest was the mediator between God and the people. And that's us. We are the mediator between God and the world. As we speak God's words and tell the rest of the world, and as we bring the world to God as they trust in Jesus, and as we pray for the world, that is who we are. We are royal priests. Number three, we are a holy nation. Holy means being set apart. We've been set apart for God. Which is number four, we are God's own possession. That's how holy we are. We have been set apart. We belong to God. We are His. And in Exodus 19, which is where these words come from, we are God's treasured possession. What's the thing which you treasure the most? What's the thing which is precious to you? Now, Eva is our youngest. She has a bunny, a rabbit, that she takes to bed. That's not the picture. I just grabbed a generic picture, but she's got this toy rabbit that Dawn made for her, that her mum made. Now, I asked Eva, and she had said it's the most special thing that she has in her room. It is her special toy. It's her treasure. She takes it wherever she goes, on sleepovers, on holidays. It is precious to her. Now, my kids are precious. You can take the house, you can take the car, my achievements, my awards. I treasure my kids, I treasure my wife. It is incredible that God treasures us. Out of all of creation, out of everything that God has made, out of the stars, the galaxies, the billions of planets, the mountains, the animals, the oceans, He treasures His people. God treasures us. Now, friends, that is the great equalizer. As we look around the world and so often we see it by the world standards. We compare ourselves to the people around us. We think about ourselves, I'm a minister, I'm an accountant, a full-time mum, a doctor, a student. We think about ourselves, I'm rich, I'm poor, I've got a couple of houses maybe. I wish I was popular. I am popular. I look great, I wish I looked great. Do you see what God does? He doesn't bring everyone down to the lowest common denominator. He brings everyone up. And He takes us into the heavens. This is who we are. We are so much richer than what this world has to offer. We are the house of God. And friends, we are the people of God. He treasures you and me. He treasures His church. We are precious. I just want to make the last point quickly and then to wrap things up. Who are we? We are the house of God. We are the people of God. And last of all, do you see what our job is? It's there in verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And why? What job does God give us? To proclaim the excellencies of God. To declare God's praises, who called us out of darkness into His light. See, friends, God has given us a special privilege. It's who we are. But God has given us a special job. We get to tell people about how good God is. God is powerful. He made the world. He owns the world. But it also means telling people about Jesus, that God saves the world. All of us live in darkness. All of us turn our backs on God. We don't treat God the way that we should. We are under the judgment of God. And that's the only way to describe it, that we are in darkness. It's the worst kind there is. Because We can't turn a light on. We can't flash a torch. If the sun doesn't come up, we can't get out of that darkness by ourselves. But God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He sends his son to die for us. Jesus takes our darkness onto himself to bring us forgiveness, to bring us blessing, and bring us back into light. And so, tell others this news, because that is what God, that's what the people of God wants us to do. And so, declare God's praises, his excellencies. Declare it to your husband, your wife, your kids. Are you doing that at home? Declare the gospel to those around us. Declare it to others who don't know Jesus. See, telling people about Jesus, it's not just what the minister does or what the evangelist does. It's what the people of God, it's what they do. It's what all of us are meant to do. Are we doing that? Who does God want to send you to? Maybe even this week. Maybe it's someone that we've forgotten about. Declaring the praises of God. It is our mission as Christians, and it is our mission as the church. Remember at the start when I asked that question, that sentence I had, the church is? How did you finish it off? That book that I mentioned, The Church is an Organization, you know, it's actually a bit tongue-in-cheek there. It was being ironic. The church is not an organization. It is bigger than that. It is much bigger. We are the house of God. It's where God lives. It's the heart of God's mission. It's not the building. It's us. We are the people of God. God loves us. God treasures us. And in response to that, we get to declare the praises of our Heavenly Father. Now, the AGM later today, it is important. I would love you to come to that. I'd love you to come along to the AGM. But we need to think about how we do that in light of what we've seen in 1 Peter chapter 2. We do need to think about our money, how we use it. We need to think about our church property, to use it well, to look after it. Those things are really important because we want to use those things for the glory of God. If we don't use them in the right way, if we don't actually understand that this church, the building, the finances that God gives us, the resources we got that God gives us, it changes our thinking. And we start thinking about church in the wrong way. We start making decisions on the wrong basis. It means that we're actually not being generous. What we end up doing is that we focus on just giving enough so that we can make sure that church keeps going. Instead of seeing God at work in people's lives, we start measuring success in terms of numbers instead of in terms of money. Instead of us being together, it just means a few people at the front who are running things. But God wants every one of us to be part of what he is doing. God wants every one of us to be using every part of us to be part of the church, to be part of God's mission. Because God is not building a company. God is building his house. God is building his people who are precious to him. And friends, we get to do that here at Barney's. When we come to the AGM and we make decisions, as we think about how parish council runs, as we think about our giving, our money, our time, our serving, as we think about not just today, this afternoon, but the rest of our lives, will we do that? Have you? Will you jump on board and be part of what God is doing here at Barney's to use our lives to declare his praises? Because that is what God has done for us. He has saved us and rescued us. And friends, we want to proclaim him to everyone around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for what you have made us. We thank you that the church, that we are the house of God, that we are the people of God, and that we get to declare your praises. Father, we do pray for the AGM, but we also pray for our lives this week, for the years to come. Help us, Lord, to jump on board with what you are doing in the world, that we might give ourselves to the work of the gospel, and Lord, that we will build your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.